Today's scripture comes from Romans 7, verses 1 through 3. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law. And if she marries another man, she's not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet, if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 to 42. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, today's gospel lesson is a little confusing and offensive. In fact, I think Jesus intended his words to be offensive. Jesus regularly offended the Pharisees, the religious and political elites of his day. He offended them publicly when he forgave prostitutes and tax collectors or adulterers. He offended them when he broke the Sabbath law by healing on the Sabbath day. Those in power in first century Israel found Jesus offensive. We don't live in that time or place, and so generally Jesus does not offend us until we read something like we just read. For example, Whoever loves father or mother more than me, or even more striking, whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. How many thousands of Christian books have been written on the topic of loving your kids, raising your kids, teaching your kids, giving your kids every conceivable advantage? That's what good Christian parents do, isn't it? Love their kids. Dr. James Dobson made a career dispensing advice like that. But here's Jesus in Matthew 10 saying, whoever loves their kids more than me is unworthy of me. Like it's some kind of contest. That's offensive, even to us. Why would he say something like that? Here's why. He's trying to make a point. A point he tries to make over and over. Because we don't get it right away. So what's his point? Well, if you read Mark chapter 10, you'll find the story of the wealthy young man who approached Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, how can I be sure that I'm going to heaven?" Jesus responded first by saying, "Why do you call me good? No one is good, but God alone." Now, as far as getting into heaven goes, have you kept the Ten Commandments? The rich young man responded, "Yes, I have. I've kept the commandments since I was a child." To which Jesus replied, "There's still one thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have, give all your money to the poor, and come and follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven." At this, the young man's countenance fell, and he walked away disheartened, just like you or I would. Why? Because he didn't have it within himself to give as Jesus called him to give. He didn't have it inside of himself to love his neighbor as himself. And neither do you, and neither do I. There's only one person who ever did, and it's not you or me. That's the point. If we flipped backwards a few chapters in the Gospel of Matthew and we started reading at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we'd be confronted again with even more offensive, outrageous demands from Jesus. Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. Pretty harsh. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus continues, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. What's his point? His point is, you can't do what's demanded of you here. You cannot keep God's law. There are two parts to Scripture, the law and the gospel. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect is law. But not a single one of us is perfect. Love your neighbor to the same degree as you love yourself. Again, that's God's law. But nobody does that. So the law condemns us. It exposes our shortcomings and unworthiness because we do not do and cannot keep it. And believe it or not, that's the primary purpose of the law, to show you and me our weakness and failure. So Jesus says, whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. The point is not to conjure up somehow more love for Jesus and simultaneously tamp down the love that you have for your children until the scale tips and you love Jesus more than your kids. That's not the point at all. The point is, none of us are worthy of Jesus. And the point and purpose of Christianity is not that we achieve perfection. The point is that Jesus comes to save and to forgive and to rescue us who are dismally imperfect, far from perfect. The radical, revolutionary, outrageous message of Christianity is that Christ died on a cross not for the moral, but for the immoral, the imperfect, the unworthy. And don't worry, that includes you. If you don't believe that, read Matthew 5. In fact, speaking of outrageous, take a look at what Scott read in Romans 7. Paul wrote that those with faith in Christ have been released from the law. He compared it to marriage. If a woman is married, she's cast her lot with her husband. If she ditches him for another man, she's labeled an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's no longer bound to him. She's free to marry somebody else without consequence. Just like the example of marriage, if you cast your lot with the law, if you depend on your ability to keep God's law, but you can't do it, and believe me, you can't, the consequence is separation from God and eventual death. The incredible, outrageous, overwhelming good news of the gospel is that you do not have to cast your lot with the law. You can get out of that bad marriage to the law and cast your lot with Christ and His forgiveness and mercy and compassion. Casting your lot with Christ, you're now free from the law. You've died to the law, as Paul puts it. Now, when you sin in thought, word, or deed, you're forgiven. And in God's eyes, you're not a sinner. Instead, you're identified as one of the redeemed of the Lord. And you're forgiven not just once, but over and over and over again. And forgiven not so that you can sin freely, you're forgiven in order that you might bear good fruit for God, as Paul puts it. This is the radical message of God's forgiveness and mercy and compassion. This is what faith in Christ is all about. That's what's called the gospel. And any other representation of Christianity is fraudulent. Those who present Christianity as primarily a moral code and the Bible as primarily a handbook for living, they rip Christ right out of His gospel, right out of Christianity. And whenever Christianity is described using culture war rhetoric or us against them language, or whenever Christ is described as siding with a political party or a political movement, whenever He's described as woke or anti-woke or slightly inebriated or anything else, understand this. Jesus has no dog in that fight, in that political fight. That's not why Jesus came. Christ came exclusively to save those condemned by their own sin. And it's not just them. It includes you and me. The Bible is the story of God redeeming mankind from the consequences of our sinfulness. And the core of Christianity is the gospel proclamation to us sinners that we are forgiven for the sake of Christ who died for us. We're forgiven and reconciled with God. So those of us who are lonely, those of us who are afraid, those of us who are steeped in regret, those of us trapped in addiction, those of us weighed down with disappointment, those of us who grieve, all of us, despite what you've done in the past or what you might struggle with in the present, you can cry out to God with confidence, confidence that in His mercy and compassion, Christ will hear you and respond. You are the redeemed of the Lord. Though you are sinful, though you are often wrong, though you are self-righteous, though your faith often wavers, Christ died for you. You are loved by God. That's the point. That's why Christ came. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, and we ask that You would help us to recognize the depth of our sinfulness and the magnitude of Your mercy and grace and kindness and forgiveness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.